listening to Munch, a podcast and website where we pair meals with movies. I'm Ben.
I'm Andre.
Don't worry, it's just a pack of wolves.
This week, we are on week number 2 of the tabletop series. After starting through the wonderful Clue, we are very fortunate to end up watching Jumanji of all films. And before we even get into it, I just want to like clear the air and say, yes, we at Munch realize that Jumanji is actually based off of a children's book and not actually based off of a game, and that a game was created as a result of this movie coming out. So just wanted to clear that air, the air there that like, yes, we know this is not technically based on a board game, but...
And Jumanji is not a tabletop game. As we saw in the movie, you can play it at a river, you can play it in the field, you
can play it
on someone's face, you can play it on the floor, you can play it in an earthquake.
It requires absolutely no skill.
Yeah. I think they played one move on the table.
Yeah.
It's more, yeah.
Maybe two.
It's a traveling board game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A mobile game.
Like, you know that, like,
the original mobile game.
The original mobile game.
It's kind of like travel version Scrabble.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically travel version Scrabble.
It's more like travel sorry, because you just roll dice.
And you feel sorry at the end of it.
Yes.
So, food. Let's talk about food real quick, just to get it out of the way. Our food concept was largely similar to Robin Williams being trapped inside the game for 26 years. We wanted to create food that was trapped inside banana leaves.
Yeah, it's like being trapped in the jungle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like, banana leaves are used as a prop and a joke. So yeah. It felt like jungle coming into our world, which is kind of what a lot of happens in this film.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Maybe this is jumping ahead too soon. But what if Jumanji landed in a jungle and all these were just already normal things to think about?
Like, instead of ending up in where, like, what?
Where it's very, or something, yeah, like where it's very
they
clear.
They were already in a jungle. And yeah. So they're, like, playing the game and a tiger shows up and they're like, well, this is fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, they're used
it's like,
to that.
I think it'd be more like, Red Rover, here comes a bulldozer. And the bulldozer starts, like, going through the rainforest.
Oh, so you think Jumanji itself, the game,
oh, it
would change itself?
Yes, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like, what doesn't fit in this atmosphere?
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a darker version.
Repent, repent, or you'll be covered in cement. You know, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Another one?
Not yet.
That was pretty good. I'm pretty impressed.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of other bad things that could happen to a rainforest.
I was trying to
a
throw
fire?
One together
fire.
Around
liar, liar, trees on fire?
Yeah.
If you lie to someone, but why would you lie to someone in the game? There's no strategy involved, so wouldn't really have an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no reason to lie in Jumanji.
No, you're just rolling dice.
Yeah, that's it.
Quickly make like a fly or else you will be soon gentrified.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
it works.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. I'll admit that.
Well, neither was this film, so.
Yeah.
That is for sure. Should we quickly talk about drinking rules, which were fast and heavy and...
Yeah,
it felt like they were actually pretty good drinking rules.
Yep.
There was
a lot of like repetitive... Because we had whenever a dice is rolled, and then typically when a dice is rolled, that it means something is going to happen in the world, which was kind of our second rule, which was as soon as you see the next element or terror come to life, you then take a drink again. So those two always happen hand in hand. That was
usually,
like, basically, you were going to take two drinks whenever a dice.
Well, three, because usually when a terror showed up, instead of just rolling the dice and continuing the game, they would pack the game up and take it with them. So every time they closed or opened the game, we also drank. So they were all pretty
that
related.
One, that one, I think, was actually the best rule. I think the best drinking game rules are the ones that make you realize how ridiculous a movie is. Yeah. Where, like, rolling the dice, drinking when they roll the dice, becoming aware that they roll the dice in this movie doesn't make it ridiculous. Becoming aware of how often they pack up and unpack the game.
Almost unnecessarily.
It had to be, like, 20 times.
Yeah, I think us having that role made us more frustrated with the film because we were more aware of how much they delayed the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we get frustrated when a game is lasting more than, like, an hour.
Can you imagine just the conversation, like, trying to play any game? Like, we're just trying to play Clank. And every single time between turns, we just, like, have a good old conversation before the next person even decides to go.
Sometimes.
Or it's like, let's go to Cupcake Royale. Let's get cupcakes real quick. Games.
Yeah.
And then once we get home, Andre, it's your turn.
Let me go live for 26 years and then come back and take my next turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to move, and then when I move back, I'll do it.
And then let's find the person in which this game has, like, horrified her life and has been a source of probably PTSD at this point.
And just pack her up, bring her with us, and force her to
and
play.
And throw her right into it.
Yeah. Well, they did that for the good of mankind.
Yes, they did.
I mean, at that point,
mm-hmm.
they'd really only unleashed a couple of monkeys and a few mosquitoes. They could have just...
Well, and a lion.
Those mosquitoes were also big.
They were.
They were killing people.
But there was, like, four of them. No. They would have been caught. There were, like, four. They would have been caught. They could have just packed up and been, like, done the same thing. Just, like, packed up the game. Like, thrown it in the creek. And then just...
Get some mosquito...
Yeah, get some of those candles.
The candles are like mosquito tents.
Bug off? Oh, okay.
No, the nets.
Bugs be gone.
Yeah, get a couple nets.
Yeah, you caught good.
Well, you need nets for everyone.
Right.
You just need one big net.
But they're mosquitoes. Oh. Mosquitoes have a lifespan of like 24 hours. These ones are a little bit bigger. So maybe they last a week.
Or maybe they die quicker.
Well, no, they don't go away until the game ends.
So you think they're immortal? Yeah. They're immortal mosquitoes.
Until the game ends, yes.
Unless you kill them. I think you can kill them.
I'm thinking about it, like, thank goodness that Robin Williams was sucked into the game in, like, one of the first roles. As opposed to, like, all this happening, like, a couple things happening. Then he finally rolls and it gets taken to the jungle. And, like, just imagine these huge mosquitoes and then, right, like, a stampede constantly happening through this town for 26 years.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
Yeah, bats were really the only thing that they let out, so.
And those didn't seem like that. Like,
no, they were fine. What,
was there anything saying, like, oh, there's been bats for 26 years?
Well, you saw the bats in the house when they were in the house. So, obviously, these animals don't die. They're immortals.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a really good point, actually.
It's a subtle point.
They're immortals.
You know, I never really thought about that. Mm-hmm. I always just kind of thought, oh, well, it's there.
And that's why when the dude got run over by a car and trampled with 700 pounds of paint.
That's why he didn't die.
He didn't die. He just got a nice, like, you know, what would you call that?
That makes this game a lot more scary, actually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this film was kind of like... The game itself was already scary in a lot of ways.
Like when the kid was sucked into the forest, that was a pretty creepy moment. His fingers got really long and then went into the game.
That was one of the worst CGI moments.
And I think one of the worst practical moments was the monkey kid. Ooh. Where they kept like packing more and more makeup on his face.
And his lips just kept getting... Chapped and more chapped.
Do you think monkeys have really chapped lips, and they just don't know how to deal with it?
I hope not. That makes me sad. I don't want monkeys to have chapped lips.
Well, I mean, I imagine they drink enough water to like. I feel like humans are like conscious enough and have enough like self awareness that we can deprive ourselves of water if we really need to. But, like, maybe in monkeys, there's more of an innate sense of when they need to drink.
Always hydrated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong.
No, I'm good. I hope you're right.
All right. Before we dive any deeper into this film, I just want to get our, like, tabletop series questions out of the way.
Okay.
Because we also played this film Sorry, we played a version of this game, but I think we all understand how this game specifically is played. So let's just talk about the base Jumanji game that came out in 1995, mm-hmm. promotional item for this film, essentially. Let's reference it to that, and then we'll talk about the version of the game we cooked up
mm-hmm.
to hopefully improve on it. So first off, how true was Jumanji to the board game? Do we feel like it was?
Fairly. They spiced up the board game a little bit.
A little bit.
Because they couldn't have actual tigers and monkeys.
Like, unfortunately.
So they had to spice up the rules. They also cut costs. Instead of putting two D6s in the box, they put one D8.
Which was an interesting choice.
Yeah, because this isn't
I wonder if they, like, recognize the balance, like, you need ones.
You need ones, yeah.
In the game.
Yeah, I guess so. Although with if you're rolling two D6s, you can get 2 through 12. If you're rolling 1D8, you get 1 through 8.
Oh, yeah.
It actually makes the game shorter, because that's why each player in that game only had, like, 3 turns.
That's true. Because you get there real quick.
They realized if they had just played the game as people sitting at a table, rolling the dice, and playing the game, it would have been over in 5 minutes. Because it's 3 turns each.
Would have been a bad movie. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Well, that's really more of a short film.
I'll take it.
Yeah,
like, that would play before a Pixar movie or something.
I mean, that sounds like what Jumanji should have been. It should have been a short film before, like, Toy Story.
But would people still be talking about it 20 years later?
I guess they are because they made another
They're
one.
They're making a new one.
I hate that.
Yeah. We're talking about it.
Yeah, we're talking about it.
We're buying
what
it.
What have we done?
Yeah, we just bought it on Amazon.
All right, so
$3.99.
So I imagine the parts that make up the game itself are kind of the items around it and the terrors that infect it in a mm-hmm. lot of ways. And also the rhyming scheme, which all plays a large part in the movie, which makes sense because the board game was based off the movie, so why not
have it was, those direct connections? Here's how it was different from Clue. When we watched Clue, it was really clear to me they took this from the board game. But then when I was watching Jumanji, it was really clear to me that they put this in the board game. Does that make sense? There would be
One example would be in the board game when you had to face one of the terrors from the jungle. It had a specific item that you had to roll on the item die that would defeat it. Mm-hmm. And they made no sense without the context of the movie. Like, you would
I think there were even some that you still didn't make sense.
Like, I think one of them was, like, the alligator, and the escape item was rope.
Mm.
Or something.
It was raft, I think. Well, maybe it wasn't.
Well, maybe that one was raft.
One was monkey, and the escape was door. And we were like, what?
And then
in the movie, when they see the monkeys, they close the door.
And then solve
the
problem.
It was like a magic door. The lion was the same.
Well, I called it magic door because I just saw the symbol and I was like, it's a magic door. Maybe that happens.
I feel like in a lot of it, a door would have solved a lot of the problems.
I mean, that's basically what happened with the lion. They just, like, put it in.
And the door also became a raft in many scenes.
It did. That's true. Yeah.
So that's like a 2-for-1 right there.
Yeah.
The door is perhaps the most powerful item.
Maybe I'll put that in Jumanji 2.0. Well, 0.2.
So speaking of Jumanji, Andre, do you want to set this up?
Sure.
This is your baby.
Okay.
I will call it.
I think Kristen Dunst said it best.
You know, it's Kirsten. It's K-I-R.
It's Kristen Stewart, Kirsten Dunst. I get that mixed up all the time.
Do you?
Say the first name again.
Here I go. Kristen Stewart, Kirsten Dunst.
I think you got it there. Yeah, good job.
Get those mixed up all the time.
Those two specifically?
Yandel, what?
Well, they, Kristen, Kirsten, you know, very
no
close.
Other...
You're just switching two letters, really. So, okay. Kirsten Dunst says, we can finish this game quickly. It's all luck. Which is what Jumanji is. Any game you play, where the only interaction you have with the game is a dice.
Quick question.
It's going to be all luck.
Who's the main actor, actress in Veronica Mars?
Something Bell.
Kirsten Bell. Kristen Bell? Oh, God. It's happening.
See, that's what... It's definitely something Bell. Miss Bell.
Miss...
Mrs. Bell?
Mrs. Bell.
Ms. Bell.
Ms. Bell.
Oh, you're going... Ms. Bell. Sure, Ms. Bell.
Yeah.
Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell.
Okay.
I just wanted to... All right. Back on track.
Yeah, so your only interaction with the game Jumanji is rolling dice.
Yeah.
Which... means it's 100% luck, because you have no other control over what happens in the game other than rolling the dice and seeing what numbers you get.
Yeah.
So I threw in... So sue me. I threw in a couple cards. A couple cards.
A couple?
I like cards because...
How many cards were these?
There were 28 Rhino cards and 10, Rhino Track cards.
Yeah.
Basically, what I ended up doing was making cards you had to get to escape from Jumanji and cards that made Jumanji harder because it's a very easy game.
It's a game that requires no skill.
Right.
As Kirsten Dunst pointed out.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. So we added what it ended up at the end. There was a little bit of strategy involved. You had to say, okay, I'm going to go to this path so I can use this card so that she can go do that.
Yeah, that's what I wanted. Feel like maybe in the second, like if we played it again, I would approach it a little differently, knowing that a lot of the game revolves around rhinos and also knowing that you can move forward or backward. Mm. Like, I think there's like something about getting a card that can allow you to change die. Go to a 1d4 so that you can kind of control your movements a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then find a way, and then like synergize with another character who has like change your die to whatever you want.
Yeah.
So that you can get out of that 1d4 when you need to make it to.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's something there.
Yeah. In games like Dominion, I can tell the game designer of that game just spent a really long time thinking about how every single card interacts with every single other card.
And you spent 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
So we don't expect this to be
But there
the
were
next
a couple
Dominion.
Cards that played well together.
There were.
There were.
I would love to see how Dominion... Like, you took inspiration from specifically Forbidden Island.
Yes.
Was your inspiration in that you had to collect 8 artifacts, essentially, and then make it to the center.
Yes.
But how I would love to know how Jumanji works if it was more inspired by Dominion than it was Forbidden Island.
That'd be interesting.
This is something you can think about for 2.0.
The issue I had was I had to stick with the board, which is a shitty board.
It's a bad board.
Yeah,
and I had to stick with like the labeled. Yes,
it's ugly.
The labeled squares, which really hurt balance issues.
Yes, that makes it tough.
And then I tried to stay a little bit honest to the game and kept the core mechanic of you have to keep rolling dice to get the same symbol as what is on the card.
Yeah.
And that
I mean, there's
sucks.
Something interesting about that in that, like, you have a sense of urgency when you are not actually rolling the correct die.
Yeah.
But it also doesn't feel good at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. I'm happy with what I did with that, actually.
Like, it doesn't change it at all throughout the game. Like, you can't ever make it easier. You can't... Well, actually, in Jumanji...
I did make it easier.
You could.
You didn't make it easier. You made it harder, actually.
At one point, when you could no longer roll...
Thank you very much.
Explain
to me how I made it easier and how I made it harder. I want to see if you got it.
Well, you made it harder when so on.
You had this idea of curses.
Yeah,
I'm calling it curses.
And one of the curses was on the die. You had an hourglass, and that was considered to be wild. So if you rolled that, it counted. And one of the curses took that away, and they were no longer wild.
You're right.
So that was a good one. Oh, and then there was one to
I
also
wish there was
make
a way
it harder.
To cleanse your curses, though.
Yeah. Or just, like, to cleanse, like, one of them or something?
Yeah, because you end up with, like, 8.
Yeah.
Oh, I had
Well, there was. Like, if you had the raft, and one of the things you had to roll was raft. You didn't have to roll. You got an automatic success. And if you said a card, the solution to a card was raft, before you started rolling, you wouldn't have to roll for that card at all.
Did we play with the rule where if you had raft, you didn't have
to roll? No one took advantage of it. You have to take advantage of it.
I don't think I knew that was a rule.
Wait, say it again.
Like, if you have raft in your hand,
yeah,
and the solution to a puzzle is raft, you don't have to roll a raft. You just get an automatic pass.
Oh, I was under the impression that you had to guess that the answer was raft.
Well, that's another.
Oh, okay,
you know.
Because that one, like, I like the idea of it, but because there is no internal logic in the game system.
That was the issue. Yeah, let's go into that. So, I wanted to... They have these rhymes, like... I don't remember what all the rhymes were. They had these really dumb rhymes. Look up the one for what a stampede is. And I thought, okay, what can we do with these? There's an answer to how you get out of this issue.
It's something like there. It sounds like thunder staying put would be a blunder.
Yes, exactly. So you're supposed to, what I wanted was you to figure out, oh, it's a stampede. Oh, I should use X to get out of here. Just to make that a little bit more interesting. Otherwise, you're just rolling symbols. But the logic of Jumanji, the game, was so confusing. Because if there was a stampede of zebras, the correct answer was door. And if there was a stampede of rhinos, the correct answer was rope. So it was hard.
Yeah. And then that makes it harder for you as the game designer trying to approach that when you recognize that there's no real internal logic the game has. It's kind of just like whatever goes.
Yeah.
And you were trying to work a system into that to develop advantages to having certain cards, which I like that idea of like, you gain more advantage as the game goes on while also gaining curses. And that's the core mechanic there. But because the game didn't have that internal logic, that idea was ultimately
the idea that you could solve a mystery. Part of that design was also just to point out how ridiculous the game was. Because I was going through so many of these cards and I was like, why is the answer dice? What does dice even mean? What does door mean? And so anyway,
like, does dice mean just like roll as quickly as possible so you can get
Let's talk about one part of the movie, going back to the movie, because no one else listening to this podcast has played Jumanji.
I would say maybe we should make it open source.
Open source it. We'll see. Okay, something that happened in the movie where dice actually solved a problem. And I don't really get it, so maybe we can figure it out together.
Yeah, this is so weird.
Robin Williams was sinking into the floor.
The wooden floor.
And then Kirsten Dunst.
You had to think about that.
I did. Kirsten Dunst rolls the dice, and he stops sinking. So the answer to that one was rolling the dice.
So I think it was trying to say that moving to the next turn would stop the quicksand.
Okay.
But it doesn't really make sense.
It didn't stop the stampede.
It was like,
it doesn't stop.
Go backwards a turn or something like that was the specific text about after she rolled.
Oh, you're right.
Mm-hmm. But how
so maybe
it
reversed it or something? I don't know.
It was a weird one because there was no clear effect. Like, it would be the only one that had any positive effect within the game.
Right.
And so that, like, puts it as an outlier, and then you don't necessarily understand the context of it. It's, like, basically luck at that point. And it's, like, we have no better idea than to just come up with text that stops what is happening there.
But also the delivery of the line and the words themselves, I didn't understand them. But I interpret them as something bad's happening. Like, when she read them and the tone she read them in, I thought, oh, this is bad.
But then
it saved Robin Williams. And I was like,
assume that's bad as well.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there were a lot of lines delivered that weren't delivered the best way.
Like what?
Like, in the very... towards the beginning of the movie when... Kirsten Dunst and her brother are supposed to be going to their first day of school, and their pseudo mom is telling them to get ready for school, and then they hear the drums and they kind of zone out, and then Kirsten Dunst like snaps back in like a really awkward way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so like that. Yeah.
Okay. Child actors.
Tough to work around.
Yeah. I used to hate child actors, and I had a really hard time getting over child actors for a long time. I think because of this era of movies where they would hire child actors who did a really bad job. But now you watch, like, Stranger Things, and Jesus, those kids are really good. Mm-hmm. The bar has
and in definitely the Florida Project, you have either even a younger child actor, and she puts in incredible performance that feels real and true to the child experience and being, like, innocent while being, like, flexible and volatile and wanting to have a good time. Like, a child's version of what a good time is differs greatly from what a teenager's is. And, like, it's just come such a long way that when you look back on these films, it's like, man.
Yeah. When I think back to this time, I'll tell you how I thought about child actors. I thought...
Tell us.
Okay. I thought there were child actors and they were terrible. There were two ends of the scale. There were child actors and there was Dakota Fanning. And Dakota Fanning was just the child actor you hired when you wanted a good child actor.
She was kind of...
She was like the kid hired when you wanted a good child actor. What happened to her? Does she still make
movies? She's still making movies. She's in something recent, too.
No way.
She's an adult now. It's going to make you feel
old. Well, I know she's an adult, but what's she up to? She's
23 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, isn't her sister doing stuff? She is in Ocean's 8.
Of course.
Crazy.
Why do you say of course?
I don't know. It just seems right.
A weird mix, I will be honest. A lot that I don't recognize, like Please Stand By, Zygote, which is a short, American Pastoral, Brimstone, The Benefactor, Yellowbird, Effie Gray, which I think I've heard of, Every Secret Thing, The Last of Robin Hood, Night Moves, Very Good Girls, The Motel Life, and Twilight Saga is the first one that I...
That's the one.
She's in Justice League.
Who?
Dakota Fanning.
Is that a spoiler?
The 2004 Justice League.
Oh, jeez. Andre.
All right. Anyway, child actors in this were very bad.
I finally found that one rhyme. There's a lesson you will learn. Sometimes you must go back a turn.
But what is the lesson she learned?
Neither the movie.
We will never. Maybe in Jumanji 2, Return to the Jumanji, we will find out what the lesson she must learn is.
Should we talk about Return to the Jumanji?
Yeah, because I think there's a couple questions we can talk about here.
Yes.
Like, one is Jumanji Return to the Jungle? Is that what it's called?
It's Jumanji 2, Return to Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
Okay. Jumanji 2, Return to Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. Does that film actually answer questions about the existence of Jumanji itself?
I think so.
Okay.
Because the form factor changes because we know that they go into a video game. And so I think we have to learn something about either the spirits of Jumanji or like the creators of Jumanji that enable it to change its format.
Okay. So let's... At the end of Jumanji, spoilers, but you see a French beach, and...
That's a great point you bring up there. Right. It's French. There's these two kids in America. They throw... The end of Jumanji 1, they throw Jumanji deep into
a shallow creek
to make it disappear forever. And then... seemingly
minutes
later, it shows up in like Normandy, buried in some French beach, and there's these French people walking around, and you see Jumanji sticking out of the sand.
But, like, really, it could also just be an L.A. beach, and then the two kids are actually just on
the simplest answer is usually the right one. No, but
they're
on the
East Coast. They say that they're in New England. Mm-hmm. So it's for sure France.
Yes. Well, could be, like...
could be, like...
Florida.
Canada, though.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Could be Canada, yeah. Yep.
This is probably more likely.
Speaking Quebecois.
Yes. Okay, so...
options there.
Then we watch...
So, TBD location, but they speak French.
And they come across the beating drums of Jumanji. The heart of Jumanji.
Yes.
Those beating drums.
Yes. And then we watch the trailer for Jumanji 2 Jumanji...
Return to Jumanji.
Return to the Jungle.
Return to the Jungle.
Sorry, Welcome to the
Jungle. Welcome to the Jungle.
It's based off that song, Welcome to the Jungle.
We've got Jumanji.
Which its lyrics go, Welcome to the Jungle.
We've got Jumanji.
Drum beats. Jumanji.
Welcome to the Jumanji.
We've got Jumanji. So the trailer for the next one shows... the board game Jumanji in the beach. And then people pick it up and they're like, what's this? And then next scene, hey, look at this board game. Next scene, TV flickers on. It says Jumanji.
No, you skipped an important part.
Yes. Did I?
Yes.
There's like a title card or something, right? That like Jumanji understands how to connect or something.
There's a couple things that skip a beat, but one thing that you did skip that I think is important that was in the trailer was that some kid who we never see again in the trailer takes the board game, puts it on a shelf, and said, who even plays board games anymore?
They were kind of in a resurgence.
Yeah, but I think the reason why he said that is so that it would like prompt the spirits to be like, okay, if we're going to get people to play this game again, we're going to have to adapt to the 21st century.
Right, so he slides it into the bookshelf, and when he puts it up there, he sees, wait, is that an HDMI port?
No, Andre,
And he takes it back down.
No.
He plugs it into the TV, and it's a video game, too. I think that's the most likely scenario.
Is it? Are you going on record that's...
That is the most likely scenario for Jumanji 2.
Welcome to the Jungle.
Welcome to the Jungle.
Return of Jumanji.
We've got Jumanji.
To Jumanji, to Jumanjiest.
To Jungle, to Jumanji.
All right, Leanna, do you have...
Tumanji!
Oh! That's so much better.
Oh, Jumanji 2, return to Tumanji. Return to Jumanji. Welcome to Jumanji. We've got Jumanji.
Welcome to the Jungle.
Welcome to the Jungle. We've got Jumanji.
Leanna, what is your hypothesis here? Save us.
I think that when they cut it, like, right as he deposits the game on the shelf.
And then the literal copy on the screen, on the trailer at this point, is, but the game always finds a way.
Yeah. So I think what we don't see is, like, as he... kind of shoves it onto the shelf, the lid just kind of shudders a little bit, and some kind of smoke, like, comes out, and the kid leaves the room, and the smoke sees his Xbox, and just kind of goes inside of it, or goes inside of some cable or something, like, it enters a digital realm, and somehow ends up in the school, and then, like, that's where the kids discover it. But I think we see some kind of spirit come out of the game. Like, it leaves the game. Like, it was haunting the game, almost. Yeah. And it transfers its power into something else. Because it's like, kids don't play board games anymore. I'm going to find what they do play.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that idea. I'm going to build off of
that. I think the movie's going to be cheesy enough that we'll see something like that happen.
Sure. I'm going to build off that real quick.
Okay.
So... the smoke comes out, and because this is a movie by Sony Pictures Entertainment, so they have that Sony brand,
PlayStation.
But it's not just a PlayStation, because we are on a
PlayStation 4 Vita?
Pro. No, because we are currently on a kick of retro consoles coming back in smaller forms, similar to the SNES and then the NES before that.
Okay.
You find out that during this movie, Sony announces in this movie that they're going to bring back the PlayStation 1 as a small console.
PlayStation 2 to play Jumanji.
Nope.
Return to the Jumanji.
Sure. So it's PlayStation 2, and then it thinks that that's the newest thing because it's like sitting on the shelf and it's like good to go. So it inhabits it. And then, but it's actually an
antiquated. No, okay, you skipped something. So it inhabits it. Explain that.
The smoke.
Okay.
That the spirit, the smoke. The spirit okay. of Jumanji.
The spirit of Jumanji.
Okay,
inhabits. No, okay. Yeah, it just like flies into the air and then flies into this device.
And there's totally an awkward moment where like one of the kid's friends is like, what's that? And he's like, oh, that's the reissue of the Sony PlayStation 2. I got it at Walmart. That you can buy now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Oh my god, is that going to happen? I feel like that could happen.
Let me spin off that. So, Sony comes out with the PlayStation 2, and there's some nerdy kid, and he's like, you could do the same thing with a Raspberry Pi. And he plugs the Raspberry Pi into the TV, and he gets sucked into this board game. And then it ends... The movie ends with, you wouldn't download a video game.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So follow-up question. Do we, as a throughout Jumanji, do we get to understand the true nature of Jumanji, the board game? Like, is that what they ultimately show in the film? Or is it just going to be another, like, hey, a bunch of terror is going to happen to you and you're just going to deal with it? Or is there actually going to be a deep story that they start to dive into and develop?
I hope so, and I think so. I hope so, because that would be more interesting.
Oh, for sure. And because this film was
the reason
not
why I think so is that you see the four main characters interact with other people who are living in the Jumanji jungle. And they must, like, the people. My suspicion is that the people that they interact with are self-aware that they're a part of Jumanji, and so they have some understanding of, like, how to get out, and they've probably seen people there before and have helped them. Maybe they know who Alan Parrish is, and we get some kind of, like, story there.
Yeah, he's a king in that world in a weird way.
Yeah, like, I want to believe that there's some continuity there and that they see these travelers come from Earth and... I don't know. Like, I want that to be a part of it, that lore to be part of it.
Yeah, that would be really interesting because, like, yeah, in this moment, this is the first time that you get to understand what it's like to be in the game.
Not the first time. Because there was Wreck-It Ralph.
What? Yeah, you're right. That is
a movie that
takes
exists.
Place.
He's in a video game, so you can see what it's like in a video game.
Uh-huh.
And then there's also Pixels, although that's when the video game comes to real life. Although that's kind of what Jumanji does.
There's
kind
also
like
Tron.
Jumanji. Also like Tron.
Although, in Tron, do they play a game and then they go into that? Or is the game just
part of...
They
do in
Tron,
too.
Okay.
They do in Tron. What are we talking about?
Oh my gosh.
So anyway, I think... I don't know.
There's a lot of lore in this
one. I tried to save it there, but yeah, I think there's going to be more lore. Also, when we watch the trailer.
Okay.
Here's the thing. The premise of this film actually looks good. I feel like there's something
there.
Tell
me more.
Well, just.
Sell Andre on this.
Sell me.
Okay. I think the moments where they're discovering that they have hit points, like there's a moment where they discover that they all have three lives.
Okay.
Yeah, there's like surprising game components.
Oh, it lets them kill main characters, get that emotional response, and they get to do it two times, and the third time they threaten to do it, it feels even worse.
Impactful.
Yeah.
There's something interesting.
There's something there. There's a moment where they start to understand their stats, and they see that... You know, they all have weaknesses, they all have special roles, and it looks like in the film they don't do a great job with that mechanic, but I think in a better film it could be really cool where they're kind of discovering their abilities and maybe you have like a nice montage where they test them out, whereas in this like the film they actually made, it looks like they're cheap gags. But
oh, for sure.
But that, but I think the idea of it is interesting. Like, it could have been better executed. Yeah. Yeah. But it makes me curious because it had, it piqued my interest a little bit.
You should read the book Timeline by Michael Crichton. It is great. What you want it to be.
What? What's his name?
Michael Kirsten.
Okay, I thought so.
No, but in that game, they go into, you like go into this video game about medieval times, and if you die in the game, you die in real life.
Okay.
Wait.
Or it might be time travel, but it feels like a video game.
Is that the film that Paul Walker was in?
Yes. The book was good.
That all comes together.
You should read the book.
Anyway, yeah. I'm also, here's the thing, also, this, watching this film, knowing that Dwayne The Rock Johnson has gone on the record and said that this new movie is meant to be watched as a true sequel to the original Jumanji, makes me want to see the new film, just to know how they connect the dots.
What if we send you to the movie theaters, and we pay for your ticket, and you let us
know? I'll buy you popcorn, too.
I'll go.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, I'd do it.
I was chipping for popcorn.
Yeah.
If it's at Cinerama, all the better.
I've said it before, and well, I'll say it again. Pass, so if you could, pay for me to watch films... Yeah, yeah, I have movie like pass, actually. For pay for my popcorn.
I will pay for the popcorn.
I will still buy a ticket for you, with, no, even though you have movie pass. Just, like...
Mm, just buy the popcorn.
Buy me a popcorn.
Spend that money on popcorn and frozen cookie dough bites.
Yeah.
We bought those when we went to Thor last night. Ooh, they're good. Huh. This episode brought to you by frozen cookie dough bites. Try them frozen. It says it on the box.
Do you think they're bad when they're warmed up?
They warmed up over the course of the movie, and it's just getting closer and closer to cookie.
Yeah, that's not wrong. That's true.
They're better that frozen.
Checks they're out. Better frozen.
Okay.
I would watch it, though.
You would watch it? Would you watch it by yourself?
You know, I've never been to a movie by myself.
This would be a good one to start with.
Oh, man, this podcast is just shaping up to be a barn burner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, there's just all kinds of things you can talk about there.
I'll making kick friends off, I'll with your kick neighbor. Off my sequel.
Finally.
I'll kick off my... Because I committed to a lot of sequels that I haven't watched.
Okay.
I'll kick it off with this one.
Okay.
Quick question.
Get the... Okay. Opening night. Mm-hmm. You got to be there at midnight.
When does it open?
I don't know.
When it opens?
17th?
Near Christmas.
It's after finals. I can go.
Okay. You go on midnight. Is you got to get there
is
around...
Is it the weekend that you're gone?
Maybe.
Even
no, that's Star Wars.
December 20th.
Yeah, it's the weekend after.
Okay.
You go there at midnight. You got to get there early. Otherwise, there's going to be a line.
Babe, do you think this movie's going to have a midnight showing?
Yes.
Of course.
And while you're waiting in line...
What movie doesn't have a midnight showing?
To see the midnight showing, you watch another sequel. And then you report back and you say, I watched Pirates of the Caribbean, Return to the Caribbean.
The newest one.
Summer Vacation. And...
That movie's like 2 hours long. You want me to get there 2 hours in advance?
Well, don't you want the best seats?
I'll probably watch it at a Regal.
Question.
Uh-huh.
If it's in 4DX, you have to see it in 4DX.
Okay, well, I can't do MoviePass for that.
4DX is essentially you're in the game.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Like, that's as
okay, close I'll look, to I'll look into it, but okay. I would go... And report back. I would do it for you guys.
Like, I'll stay up that night so that we can record as soon as you get back.
I'll return to the Jumanji. Welcome to the Jumanji. Tumanji.
Mm-hmm.
For you.
Oh, I cannot wait for this.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's shaping up to be a good one.
I'll do it.
Yeah.
I really don't think there's going to be a midnight showing, though, you guys.
Why would there not be a midnight showing?
I just didn't think they did that for every film.
This is a big film.
This is a movie 20 this years in the making.
This is coming out basically on Christmas Day.
Is it?
December 20th.
No, but like, is it a big deal? Are people excited?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is in this film. Kevin Hart is in this film.
Yeah, but Dwayne
Jack is... Black is in this film.
No one has been in a Jumanji film.
And then, of course, Karen Gillan. Everyone knows who Karen Gillan is.
She's from Doctor Who.
I'm sure everyone knows who she is.
She was one of the companions.
What else has she done?
Jumanji 2.
Return to the Jumanji.
Good job.
Yeah.
You've passed.
Yeah, you're going to have to get in line pretty early. There's going to be the San Andreas crowd.
Oh, the San Andreas crowd is like a rowdy crowd, too.
Yeah.
The Furious George crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want, I mean, this is kind of a prequel to Rampage.
Yeah, basically is. Rampage looks like a cross between.
There's Heartheads, too. Mm-hmm. Heartheads are big on this one.
I really hope that that's a real term.
It's not.
Oh.
I mean, it could
They're heart hearts.
I don't know.
They're heart-hearted.
It sounds worse in a weird way.
Yeah.
Heart-hearted.
But Rampage basically looks like a cross between Jumanji and San Andreas.
Yeah, it does not look good.
No. Okay.
I mean,
I guess
the biggest thing about...
And you've got School of Rock fans.
Yeah.
That are going to be there.
Yeah.
So...
Oh my gosh, Rhys Darby is in Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle.
So's Joe Jonas. That was a surprise.
Yes. Murray. Mm. Murray.
Oh, that
Rhys
guy.
Montague Darby.
So Jonas Murray. Heads are also going to be there. Joe Bros. Says, Joe Bros?
Is that their name?
I don't know.
That sounds...
Brojos?
Could be.
Brojos.
Joes.
Basically, every group is coming out for this film.
Yeah, this movie has something for everyone.
Basically.
Including me, possibly.
I would hope so.
Maybe. Hopefully.
Otherwise, that's going to be a very interesting podcast.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm in. Let's do it.
I'll go to the theater with you. I won't watch the movie. I'll go to something good.
You'll go to another movie.
Yeah.
I'll see you after.
I would. I'd do it. I can't go to it with you. That would destroy this podcast.
It would.
Because
it would.
The whole I need to do this by myself.
You to
no,
tell
this is
us
for me.
About the story.
I think it's fitting that for me to kick off my sequel adventure, it's this film. And it's also
Star Wars again.
It also happens to be the only film that the first film I see by myself.
I like this idea that, Andre, you and I, we go to see Star Wars as Leanna watches Jumanji
2.
Like, we come out like really satisfied after seeing, like, getting
a second time.
A second viewing of Star Wars.
Maybe third. At that point,
it's a date.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. This is gonna be fun.
Yeah. Hashtag Jumanji.
Such a good name. They should have come to us.
Yeah, they should have. I mean, this wouldn't be the first time Hollywood needs to come to us.
Yeah.
No, just reference our last podcast, but the one before.
Basically, any one of our podcasts.
That's true.
Remember our John Wick and
when we said they should make
Memento.
John Wick 2?
Yeah. John Wick crossover.
What a great crossover.
That was
crossover.
A great idea.
That's like the next Alien versus Predator, which is like basically the best Alien film.
Yeah.
Just we're here, Hollywood.
I haven't seen any of the Alien films. I should.
I'm kidding. It's not the best Alien film.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Have you seen the Alien movies?
I've seen Aliens.
How do you know that Alien versus Predator isn't the best one, then? If you've seen one out of, like, five?
I've seen Predator.
You know, it's interesting that you guys bring
this
up.
I've seen parts of Alien
versus
Predator.
Do you
want
to see it? I want to see it.
Well, here's the thing. One of my teammates at school recently sent me a photo of something with very little explanation. He just said, you should make this for your blog.
Mm.
And it was a food thing that was made to look like the face hugger from Alien.
Mm. Okay.
And I couldn't tell what it was. I was extremely weirded out because that thing is horrifying.
It has some very specific features.
Yes. So I responded and I was basically like, WTF, why did you send this to me? This is weird.
Mm-hmm.
And he explained that it's actually a crab stuffed inside of a chicken with a sausage link for a tail.
Huh.
Made to look like the face hugger, and it was very creative, and I was like, maybe
really
we
creative.
Should make that and watch Alien. Huh. And now that we're talking about it, I feel like it's kind of all coming together
now. I think it would be fun to watch Alien at some point, just because there's a lot of history around
crab saucin. So.
What?
Like turducken is a crab saucin? Crab sausage and chicken?
Just, Andre, you gotta, like, give us a little bit of a warning when you're gonna
Andre, you're on another level.
Thank you.
You're on another level. We are not on that level.
You gotta realize, like, sometimes in your mind, you have, like, a whole conversation.
There's
and then
an A
you just
to
say,
B to C to D that you have in your mind.
Yeah.
That's,
and then you
that
just
we're
say
not,
the,
right. we're not
you
privy
say
to
the
that.
E to us.
And then I try to explain to you that Jumanji just has an HDMI port and you don't believe me. So, I don't know. I'm getting mixed messages here.
So am I.
Jumanji. I don't know if there's anything else.
I think that's a good...
Yeah.
All right. Real quick, we're going to wrap it up after this. What did everyone think of Jumanji? Just give me, like, the quick synopsis.
I want to watch a good Robin Williams movie.
Yeah, me too. Because he was good in this. He didn't have a great script to work with. He didn't have great...
Anything. There was just not a lot for him to do.
Usually when I watch a Robin Williams movie, I'm like, oh, God, I love Robin Williams. Not happen in this one. There was not a moment where I just, like, my heart melted a little bit.
Like, he was the worst of, like, all of his
stereotypes,
if that makes sense. Like,
yeah.
He was phoning it in every
Have moment. You seen Birdcage?
Yes. That's a great film.
It's a really good film. In that, we too. Should watch that.
Birdcage is a great film.
It's such a good film. That's another Louise favorite.
Oh, really?
It is. She loves that film.
Okay. It's a great film.
Yeah.
I would watch that, yes.
But seeing him in a film just made me nostalgic for the other films he's in that I like.
What's the one, What Dreams Patch May Adams. Come? Is that it? Those are very different Robin Williams movies.
What Dreams May Come?
Have you seen that one?
Is that the name of the film?
He dies, or his wife dies, and he's in, like, purgatory?
No, he dies. His wife is still alive.
Okay.
Oh, what's that one where he becomes, like, a real man?
Bicentennial Man. We've talked about that one on this.
I watched it in High School Anatomy.
Like, I've heard it's a good film from you, but every time I see the poster, like, the DVD cover on that one, I just cannot take it. What's the
Rotten Tomatoes?
On What Dreams May Come?
No, that one's going to be, like, 95. It's a very good movie. Bicentennial Man.
It was actually 54%. Bicentennial Man's 37%.
Whoa!
Was Robin Williams not a good actor? Am I wrong?
Does
Rotten Tomatoes just rate actors? That's what they should do. They should create a metric for actors based on, like, the films they're in.
Robin Tomatoes. it just rates Robin Williams. You just go to it and it just says 72.
Why 72?
I'm guessing that's his average. I would have guessed it would have been like 90 before hearing all of this.
I'm still laughing over Robin Tomatoes.
I love it.
It's really good.
It is.
It's really good.
Buy that URL.
I wonder if it already exists. What are we even looking up now?
All right. Robin Williams.
His lowest rated film was a 2009 film called Old Dogs.
Oh, boy.
Which I feel like I remember that one. Highest rated was Dreams with Sharp Teeth, which was in 2008. Oh, he was in Good Will Hunting.
That was good.
That's high up there.
Will Hunting.
Hamlet.
The original?
All across the board, in all honesty.
Yeah, I'm seeing red and green there.
A lot more green, we'll be honest.
Like, I don't know, doing it for the paycheck?
Patch Adams had a 23%.
I don't think
Rotten Tomatoes wasn't necessarily around at this point, so, like, a certain amount of it's, like, looking back on it.
Man, The Birdcage is only 79%.
That's pretty good.
That's the film that we should watch. That's one of my favorites.
He was also in Aladdin. Hook.
Dead Poets Society.
I named my car after that movie.
He was in some good stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely, like, a wide variety.
All right. Well, we should watch Robin Williams.
He's been in 100s and in 5%.
Yes.
He really experienced the whole range.
Wait, what had a 100?
Dogs with Sharp Teeth.
What? I've never even heard of this film.
He came out in 2008.
I worry it's one of those things that, like, 14 people reviewed, and they all liked it.
Yeah, it's not, like, actually a real film. So we did not like Jumanji. Jumanji is a bad film. It has similarities to The Goonies in that, like, everything happens to the actors, and so the actors never have a good opportunity to create any meaningful connections to the audience. And we were frustrated with how they play Jumanji the game.
The monkeys look good, though.
Oh my god, the monkeys were fucking hilarious.
A plus monkeys.
When they saw the Wizard of Oz monkeys and they were like, monkeys. That was really good.
That was funny.
That was a good bit.
The monkeys were pretty funny.
Monkeys, like, I would
watch a supercut of just the monkeys.
That's gotta be the on Minions YouTube.
Yeah, just it's just called Monkeys.
You were trying to make something there, weren't you?
No, I was mispronouncing a word on accident.
Two monkeys.
I
fixed it.
Oh, whoa, Crystal!
I like it.
No,
with
but
two
but that,
monkeys.
That scene,
the sequel to Jumanji.
The scene where they go monkeys into the kitchen and they open the freezer and the monkey hops out.
Oh my god!
And then monkey also the scene
comedy
where,
goal.
The scene where they're driving the police car and the monkeys just like roll up on a bike and one of them's like got a helmet on, like.
One of them has a gun.
One of them has a gun. Like, it's just funny.
Yeah. It's very good.
The monkeys are very
good.
The monkeys are very good.
They look horrible. The CGI is so bad.
Well, that's my
bad.
Favorite part about them. The monkeys are so good.
Like, they work despite how bad they look.
Yes.
Also. Yeah.
The monkeys were...
It's probably because they look the closest to humans that they look the most disturbing.
I think we should all come out with a hot take right now, which is that the monkeys are the best part of this film.
I'm trying to wonder if that's actually a hot take. Is that a hot take?
Well, no one else is...
All right, we'll
no
take,
one else
we'll
is talking
that's,
about it. I
that's
haven't
our
seen anything in the news recently.
Yeah, monkeys are the best part of
the...
No, Jumonkeys.
Oh, monkeys.
Jumonkeys.
Yeah, this film should have been called Jumonkeys because the monkeys were the best part.
Yep, agreed.
Yes.
There it is, right there.
And with that, this has been the second episode in the Tabletop series for Munch. You can find our content...
Jumonkey 2 Electric Boogaloo. That's a good sequel.
Are you gonna? All right, Andre, you're finishing this up. This is on you now.
Or Get Munched Up on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. On our website, we're getmunchedup.com. On our podcast, we're just Munch, but you know that. like us, follow us, tweet at us. We'll answer your questions on email. We're getmunchedup@gmail.com. Check out our website to see the food. Watch out Hollywood for Jumonkey 2 Electric Boogaloo. It's coming at you. You know, like that's a move that could happen in Jumonkey 2. We'll make that rhyme. And stay tuned for, here's my last question. What would you name the monkey who's the star of Jumonkey 2 Electric Boogaloo? What's his name? Mine's Peanuts. Good day. No, you can answer if you
all
want
right.
to.
Lena, you got one. After that stellar performance.
The first name that came to mind for me was Frederick.
Okay. I'm gonna go with Olivia Monkey.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, I like simple. That. Munnkey.
Exactly.
Okay. And that will do it. Have a nice day. did I get it all in?
Yep.
Okay.
One take, Andre.
One take, Dre.